Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste. Those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to tonight's edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. We at the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show would like to express our love and concern for those of us and our families who may be suffering because of this recent pandemic. And we pray that our faith and our strength will keep us and guide us, and our God Allah will keep us so that we can persevere to get out of this. And hopefully, God willing, we'll learn and benefit from this and work toward building communities of our own. So, but that being said, we are going to take a change. We're going to take a shift in our topic, and we're going to talk about a very extremely important component of community building, and that's having our own independent businesses. So we're going to have, we have our Time to Leave member, Sister Niambe Muhammad, and she has a very enlightening guest. And I'm going to let Sister Niambe introduce her guest, because I don't want to mess it up. So, Sister Niambe, are you on?
I am. Yes, sir, Brother Carl. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Okay. Oh, thank you. Thank you. And as you mentioned on tonight's show, our special guest is, her name is Sister Anjali, and she is the owner and CEO of Pretty Palm Apparel. Sister Angelique, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. 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 I am so very excited to have you on our show. You are the first guest of this kind. And so before we delve into the interview, Sister Angelique, would you mind just sharing a little bit with our audience about yourself.
Absolutely. My name is Angelique. I am a wife and mother of two girls. I work in corporate America currently, and about 3 years ago decided to start this business. And I'm sure we'll talk more about this, in the interview. But I started this business about 3 years ago, just looking for other opportunities and wanting to ensure that my daughter had representation in regards to her self-image. So I'm originally from Chicago, currently living in Atlanta with my family, and, trying to make sure that we have opportunities for little girls of color.
Beautiful, beautiful. What are the ages of your daughters?
My oldest daughter is 10 years old. She just turned 10 in March, and my youngest daughter just turned 1 in February.
Oh, okay. All right. Beautiful. All right. So, as I mentioned, the name of your company is Pretty Palm Apparel.
Yes.
To us a little bit about, that's a very unique name. Talk to us a little bit about the inspiration behind that name.
Absolutely. A few years ago, my daughter and I were kind of hanging out, and at the time she was in second grade, she started to have some issues with self-identification, being a young girl of darker skin complexion, long curly black hair. At the time, I wasn't wearing my hair in its natural state. And so she started to want to emulate me and wear her hair straight and not like her curls. And I had a conversation with her, really just kind of explained to her how beautiful her hair was. We would have conversations, and she would ask why we were different colors. I'm more of a medium brown. She's more of a darker brown, like my husband. And, she wasn't really appreciative of what she was given. And I knew that to be a problem right away. So I began to look into opportunities and available resources that would help encourage her to love her and who she was. And unfortunately, there wasn't many things out there. And so me by trade, I work in human resources. I'm not really, I would say, the crafty type. And so I initially started to try to create some room decor for her. I would take canvas boards and, put words of affirmation on those canvases, and use it as an activity for us to kind of work together. At that point, about 2 weeks into that, determined, this is just way too stressful. What else could I do? And I thought, through her clothing. It was around the time of spring where we would go out and, change out her wardrobe for the summer. And I went to several different major retailers, and at that moment it kind of clicked that, all of the items that we were kind of, had options to choose from, none of the images or characters looked like her nor represented her, which I thought to be a problem. And so I decided to create a brand that would allow her to basically have some self-affirmations through images and characteristics and wording through the apparel that she wore. When it came to an opportunity of thinking about the name, I just decided to go with something that would really stand out, and that was, she wore her hair in two ponytails a lot, and, in our community, we typically call those pom-poms or ponytail puffs, and so I would always tell her how pretty she looked, how beautiful she was, and so the name Pretty Palm came about.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, because I remember, being a little girl and wearing little puffball ponytails, so your brand truly represents the little black girl. So, and what a beautiful start. I'm one who believes in true entrepreneurs come are born out of inspiration and a need. And so you saw a need.
Absolutely.
Specifically for your daughter, which in turn kind of grew into a need for many little black girls.
Yes, absolutely. It was something, it started out as a passion project, something that I wanted to do specifically for my daughter. And our first and only character at the time was actually modeled after her. So, it was really just to kind of help inspire her and celebrate her. And when I started to get support and we would get more inquiries, it was something that kind of took a life form of its own. And that, therefore, further inspiration came from that. And I wanted to, you know, just kind of expound on that because there really wasn't, in my opinion, anything out there that would represent that.
Okay, yes, ma'am. So let's talk a little bit about what it is exactly that you offer, what your products are specifically. So you have some outerwear, bedding, clothing. Are those, would that be specifically the majority of what you sell and offer, or are there other items as well?
Right now, that would be the majority of those items. Like I said, it's been about 3 years in totality. We've only been operational for about 2 of those years. I did take last year off when I found out I was pregnant. I had a pretty rough pregnancy, so I wasn't really able to push forward the way I wanted to, so I really was forced to kind of take a back seat. And, you know, with me working a full-time job and being a mother and wife, I really had to find time in between to really focus on the brand. So right now, the only items that we do have, we started out with just T-shirts. From there, we were able to kind of move into the outerwear with the jackets. And then from there, we've been able to move into things like the home textiles, the room decor, and the bedding.
Okay. So is it just jackets, or do you do jackets and coats? Or?
Right now, just jackets.
Okay.
Just jackets for the outerwear aspect. We try to introduce new items every season, and, you know, that's how we're expanding into things like the home textiles and room decor, things of that nature.
Okay, okay. And we can't forget the backpacks. That's important. So when our little girl starts school, your backpacks hopefully will be available. So,
yes, they will.
And what – wonderful. And so what age range are your products suitable for?
Our clothing items typically start about 6 months in limited items, and they go to about size 12, 14, so preteens, so about 12 years old. We initially started with a smaller group, but through the demand, we definitely decided to expand the sizings and options and availabilities for those items.
Okay, okay. And so during our initial conversation, I found it really interesting because we were talking about, I mentioned kind of production and manufacturing and, you know, being in retail stores. And you mentioned that you make some of the products yourself and that you didn't just want, you know, someone producing the items for you and you just stamping your name on it. So talk to us about what goes into the production of your product.
Absolutely. When I began, it was just, again, just T-shirts. We had about 7 different designs and T-shirts, and I personally worked with graphic designers that I handpicked to create these images. All of our imagery and wording on all of our designs and shirts were original because, again, like you mentioned, we didn't want to be a brand that kind of took someone else's work and put our name on it. Or put our spin on it and then, you know, put it out there. We really wanted to create something unique and something new and something original. And so we would work with these designers and we would get the prints and, you know, the items created. And then once we were able to do that, we were able to package those shirts ourselves and, of course, ship them out. So we would add the sizes. We would add the images. We would purchase the shirts and create them. We would heat press them ourselves in our home. And package and deliver those items by ourselves. And so as we began to grow into the other items, the textiles, the home decor, the bedding, the backpacks or purses, those are obviously items that require a lot of machinery and, you know, production that, of course, someone like me, being a one-woman operation, wouldn't really be able to do. So we have begun to outsource that as the majority of the demand has increased significantly, which is a blessing to us. But, you know, there's just more for us, you know, that we're able to really do on our own now. But, yes, you know, a lot of our items are manufactured originally. So even though we do have others producing them for us now, they are original items. We're not buying, you know, basic items and then adding our imagery to it. We are actually having them design piece by piece. We're picking the colors, we're picking the materials, we're picking the designs. Many of our sweaters and jackets and outerwears have hand-sewn tags inside because they are created individually for our organization. So it's really important for us to make sure that we keep our content original as possible.
Okay, yes, ma'am. Great, beautiful. So you have branched off into an area of business that not many get into. I mean, of course, we've had FUBU, Russell Simmons had a clothing line, Kimora Lee Simmons. You know, we've had Black people create clothing lines, but we've never had, I don't recall a clothing line specifically for Black little girls by a Black woman or the Black family. So could you just talk to us just a little bit about what goes into specifically the manufacturing and production? How did you get started there?
Well, when I came up with the idea, I knew absolutely nothing about running a business, let alone a retail organization. And so I literally had to lock myself in my house and just kind of do my homework. Did a lot of research and investigation in regards to what goes into creating an organization like this. I wanted to really fully be prepared because, you know, we pretty much bootstrapped the entire way. There were no investors, no loans. So literally all of the money that was invested into this organization came out of my pocket. And so for me, it was super important to realize that if I was going to be taking money away from my household and my family, I wanted it to have a real purpose and not just to be wasted. And so I really immersed myself into learning more about the brands and textiles and organizations and production. And I also did some research on organizations that were similar to mine. I did a research on the corporate organizations, the major retailers, to figure out what kind of designs and products were popular. I did a lot of discussions with my daughter and, you know, my nieces and, you know, children their age to get information about what things they liked. And then I worked with the designers to put it all together. I thought that was super important because what I did not want to do was to create a brand that someone, and it's no disrespect to any other brands, but I wanted something that did have a commercial look. I wanted something that if you picked it up, you know, randomly, that you would wonder if this came from one of the major retailers. I did not want it to look like it came from a home-based business. And so it was really important to me to make sure that, you know, the money I spent was spent on making sure that I had the correct quality and not just wanting to put something together to get it out there, but that it had the right look, the right feel, the right touch, and that it hit the right demographic.
Okay, great. And so how difficult or easy was it to get your product, or has it been to get your product manufactured? What has that process been like?
It wasn't as difficult as I expected. It does, again, it just really takes a lot of research and a lot of communication, and you really have to just command your business. I think a lot of times as we start businesses or just in general, we tend to let things slide because we don't want to offend people or we don't want to, you know, come across as being a mean person. However, I think it's also important to realize that, you know, this is your business and this is your money and this is your name. And so if you hire someone to do something, a graphic designer or a manufacturer or you know, whoever it is you're hiring or you're contracting for your work, that, you know, the work is quality and it meets your standard. I think if you allow individuals to kind of float by or get by with giving you a product that you don't fully love, then you're doing yourself and your customers a disservice. And so it was a lot of work, a lot of communication, direct communication between myself and my production team and my managers. The creative directors, the graphic designers, the illustrators, it was a lot of back and forth communication, a lot of phone calls, a lot of emails, a lot of draft revisions to make sure that what I had was what I wanted. And so, you know, if you work with quality, good people who are, you know, professionals in their industry, they will understand that because they want to put out the best work as well. So I think that's super important.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Okay. And oftentimes, you know, when we start businesses, we, as you mentioned, we may, it may start off as a hobby, but oftentimes we don't necessarily scale or expand our businesses. So what is any, yes, ma'am, what plans for your business?
Well, you know, I initially, like I said, when I started this business, it was not, my goal was not to be, you know, this next big, you know, retailer or a clothing designer or, you know, business owner, really. It was, again, the message was really about celebrating and inspiring my daughter and little girls that look like her. But, again, the support that came with it, there was always a lot of, you know, recommendations on what I should do next or what I need to do next or, you know, what items I need to start carrying. And so the number one thing that I heard, which, again, for me was more validation, was I can see this in, you know, this retailer. I can't wait to see it in this store. Or will you try to get it in this store? And, you know, I honestly, my philosophy personally was I really don't, that's not my goal. I, you know, if, as long as you're willing to do the work, and you're in your, you remain, you know, constant in your quality and your customer service, you know, I don't think you need to rely on the major retailers to kind of pick you up. So do I aspire to be in the Walmart, the Target, the whoever? No, I don't. I know as long as I have the website, I have my, you know, distribution list, my community through Facebook, Instagram, and our website. You know, that's all the support I need. As long as we continue to market our product, as long as we continue to make sure that our customer service is impeccable, I think the brand will grow that way. In 3 years, that is how we've grown our business. And I feel like this is so, there's so much untapped potential, being that there are so few brands like ours. You know, I think if money is your mission or money is your motivation, then yes, maybe going that route is probably the best thing. But if it's a passion project, if it's, if it has any meaning to you, then I think for the most part, it's almost like in music artists in the industry. You know, there were always all these record deals, and that's where people were, you know, kind of going, and, you know, they weren't getting the best bang for their buck or the best benefit. And now, you know, people see now that the best route is to be independent. And so we want to remain independent. We want to make sure that we have the flexibility to do the things we want to do and what we think is best for little girls that look like ours, and not really have to worry about the status quo with some of the contracts that come with some of these major retailers.
I love it, because and everything that you said is so very true. Oftentimes we think that we need others in order to achieve what others have said is success, but that isn't necessarily so. And I have no doubt that your business will continue to grow. It will continue to expand. I just, for me sharing, as I mentioned, and when I initially contacted you, just for me sharing your something from your page in a group garnered over 500 likes and numerous comments, and people were saying things like, I love it. I love this for my daughter. I'm trying to get my daughter off of blah, blah, blah. I mean, so they were really, really excited about the product. I love
Even though it's my business, my daughter, you know, shares a lot of the responsibility. She is the mini CEO of the business. And even though initially she started out as the muse, she's taken an active role in this business. And it's still, as a parent, the parental side of me is still in awe when I go in her room, and or she goes in her room and she gets her new jacket or the first new backpack or whatever it is, the new items that we have available. And she looks at me and she looks at that item and she looks and says, this is me. That's such a surreal feeling, you know, that my child will have an opportunity to see her face. And, you know, most other parents who, you know, purchase products from us, you know, their children also find themselves in this product. I can't tell you the number of parents who've sent me videos or pictures or text messages of their children, their daughters, you know, admiring this character because it looks just like them or has the same hair as them, the same skin tone as them, the hair, same hair texture as them. And that's something that you don't really see. I mean, when I think about it, I can only think of maybe one or two characters that exist that, you know, are supposed to represent little girls that look like ours, little black girls. But even if you look at those characters and you look at their you know, their body type, their hair type, their skin colors, you know, they don't really truly represent little girls that look like our daughters. They don't look like us when we look at our baby pictures. They don't look like us. They don't represent us in the true nature. And so it's much more difficult for a child who looks like that to really resonate and accept who they are versus emulating and wanting to be something else. That's one of the main things we want. We want little girls to be happy with who they are, with what they have, versus looking at this character and wanting to emulate this character.
Well, in a few moments, hopefully we'll have a chance that what advice would you have for anyone that may be looking to get into a similar business? Maybe not, you know, little black girls may not be their target audience, but anyone that may be interested in getting into manufacturing and production or retail sales, you know, that may want to start a business from the ground up, what advice would you have for them?
There are two specific qualities that I think are super important, and I was asked this question recently, and I'll give the exact same answer. They have to be serious, and they have to be patient. It's not a matter of money, because you can start with one item and build from there if you have the patience. It's not about the support, because if you have a product that you really put out there and you really work with and you really believe in and you do the work, you'll have there's an audience for it. So I think the only two qualities that can't be replicated are being patient and being serious. If you are not dedicated to your business, because nobody's going to take your business as serious as you are, you have to be dedicated to it. So those sleepless nights, those days or weeks or months where you're not getting any activity or any purchases, you have to still remain serious about it. And then also, again, patience. You know, again, this is year three, and this is probably our most successful year. But it took, you know, the 2 years in between before we got here. And if we were to just get discouraged after the first year and say, you know what, this is not doing what I wanted it to do, I'm going to give up on this, we would have never made it to where we are right now. So the best advice that I can give anybody who is interested in starting a business of any sort, but particularly a brand like this, or, you know, just retail or manufacturing, is to be patient and to be serious.
Okay, great advice. Thank you. Okay, we have yes, ma'am, we have reached the halfway mark, so it's now 7:30, Brother Carlson. Do we have any callers waiting in the queue?
Brothers and sisters, if you are finding this conversation interview stimulating and actually feeding your will to learn more about business in our communities, please press the 1 on your dial. And we have somebody. Looks like we got Dr. Vic. Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum.
Dr. Ridgely?
Walaikum salam. Welcome, Dr. Ridgely.
Yes. Well, I hate to be the first one on the line and take up all the space, so I won't be long. Except that what she just said was very similar to what Kobe said, Kobe Bryant, about business. He said, find your passion. And this is what the sister has found. She found her passion. And then from that passion, she developed a business. Because like she said, you got to have patience and you got to be serious. So business is really life. Okay. Unfortunately, many in the West, we've been taught and trained that you go in the business to make money. Where in other places, you go in the business to service a need or to continue a process that's been started. In other words, culture that's been passed down, or you trying to fulfill a need, and you mm-hmm. are passionate about it. Well, this is what the sister has done, and thank you so much for coming on our program. And one day we want to get you to move down to Wakanda with your manufacturing once you get to that level. But,
absolutely.
You know, this is what we need. We need people who are going to find something that they're very, very passionate about and then become experts, become so good at it that everybody wants a piece of it. And that's what you have done. So thank you very much for being on the program. Peace.
Oh, no, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, we have another caller. We have Sister Majida. Let me open Sister Majida's line. Sister Majida?
Hi, Assalamu Alaikum. Can you all hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Walaikum Salaam. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And, Sister, I am thoroughly enjoying the show. And I'm going to read something to you about your product in just a second. But I just wanted to thank you. And, you know, I was listening to Dr. Ridgely, and like you said, you know, I'm just really grateful for your commitment, Sister, to produce products and products that
thank
are
you.
You know, more than just a means to money.
Yes, absolutely.
And,
thank
you know,
so
in a time where there's so much struggle for our young girls to try to find their identity in a world mm-hmm. such as this that we're living in, I really appreciate, you know, that you're creating products and giving them an opportunity to strengthen themselves and their identity. That's really important
yes.
for them.
Yes, thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am, and I wanted to read something to you also. I sent a pink, the pink squad bag?
Yes, the pink bag.
Pink bag to my 10-year-old granddaughter in Florida a couple of weeks ago, and she received it, and she sent me a thank you text, and I just wanted to read it to you.
Wow.
She calls me Nanny. She said, thank you, Nanny, for the package. I love the backpack. It is so cute. She looks like me when I was younger, and I love it, and I will take it everywhere. So I just wanted to share that with you. She is really excited. Really excited.
That is awesome.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
That is awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. I really appreciate that. I mean, you know, every time I get a message or, you know, like that, it really lights my heart up because, you know, I can't remember when I was that young having something, you know, like that. And I would have loved to have something like that. So the fact that I'm able to provide for my daughter and little girls that look like her is just amazing. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Yes, ma'am.
And is there anybody else for the call, Sam?
At this time, those are the only two callers.
Okay. Well, and it's just as a reminder, our dear sister is in Georgia, so Dr. Opa. Richard, we'll have to get her down to Founders Day. Hopefully we can get her down to Founders Day so everybody can meet her in person and she can
yeah.
experience the farm.
Yeah.
And we got a caller, Sister Niambi.
Okay.
Caller with the last four digits, 5597. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Sister Kim Muhammad. I'm calling from St. Louis. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. We can hear you. Assalamu alaikum,
okay.
Sister Kim.
Well, alaikum salam, Sister Yambi. I am so grateful for your guest. I want to know where do I need to go to purchase something that she have for my granddaughter. I'm like, well, that'd be the perfect gift. So where do I go to look to see what you have and select some items for you to ship to me?
Absolutely. You can visit our website, and our website is www.mypretypom, and that's P-O-M, .com.
.com. My Pretty, P-R-E-T-T-Y.
Yes, ma'am.
Prettypom. .com. Thank you very much, and you are so right and on time with this because our babies need to see themselves. So thank
they
you.
Do.
Thank you for being
no,
so inspired.
Thank you
about
so
me.
Much. Thank you so
I
much.
So
I mean,
yeah.
Walaikum salam.
Okay, and the queue is now empty. So go ahead, Sister Niambi.
Okay. So, Sister Angelique, talk to us a little bit about how, you may have touched on this already, but if you could just speak a little more in-depthly about, like, how you were able to get your product to market initially. How did you go about marketing them? How did you make people aware that your product is even available for purchase?
Absolutely. That goes back into me locking myself in my house that summer, just trying to educate myself about this business and, you know, strategize. And the way I decided to strategize was to really take into account social media. And so I created social media platforms for the products and the brands on Facebook and Instagram. And I started to do research in, you know, looking for businesses, small businesses like my own that had like interest and see what they were doing and, you know, kind of study, you know, those who are already in play as well as the major retailers. And at that point, I decided to determine that the easiest way to, you know, get recognized by the demographic in which I was interested in was to make sure that it was branded appropriately. And so I kind of used a play on words as far as the colors. You know, typically when you think the word pretty, you know, people associate that with the word pink. And, you know, for us, pretty is not just, you know, the typical, I guess, the definition. It's not the typical definition. Our pretty is more of a mindset. The definition of pretty when it comes to Pretty Palm is it's really a feeling or a belief that's not defined by appearance, but it's really a mindset or an attitude instead. Pretty, you know, obviously the first thing people think is the word pink and, you know, about physical characteristics, and it's really not. So that was my way of kind of grabbing, you know, someone's attention. And then when they got to know the brand, then they would really understand what we were truly about. But I also created the Pink Bag Squad, and that literally is just a hashtag that I created as we started to get more information from, you know, some of our customers, and they were sharing their opening or unboxing videos with us. And, you know, it became that it was partly the common denominator in those videos was the packaging, which we used pink mailers or pink, you know, bags to deliver those gifts. And so that would be the common theme in all these videos was this little black girl opening this pink bag. And so literally I just kind of started to, you know, name it the Pink Bag Squad. And so to this day, I get so many people who email me or reach out and they're like, you know, how can my daughter be a part of the Pink Bag Squad? And I tell them it's really just a movement. You know, you can always be a part of the Pink Bag Squad. There's no membership fee. There is no subscription. It's not, you know, invite only. You know, Pink Bag Squad is all of these little girls who resonate within these items, who see themselves in these items, who celebrate themselves, who are inspired by the items. And so it's really about the marketing. We started to make sure that all of our items were consistent with our marketing and our packaging. We have the character that we introduced so shortly after we launched, and that was really to kind of, again, identify, because with just the logo, nobody really knew what it was, and even with the character, they still didn't know what it was, but it intrigued them a little bit more to kind of find more out about the brand, and we recently introduced another character of a different skin tone to kind of show the diversity in, you know, brown and black girls. And that we're all, you know, different and diverse and versatile. We have different skin colors. We have different hair textures, but we're all still beautiful.
Oh, wow, beautiful. I love it. And you might have the Pink Bag Squad, maybe another part of your expansion. You might have another great idea on your hands there.
Yes.
So typically, so do your sales mostly come from online sales, or do you ever set up at trade shows or expos or booths somewhere? Like, do you, or is it just mainly online sales?
Well, when the opportunity presents itself and it feels right, we definitely try to attend, you know, vendor opportunities and trade shows. I think it's really important to get the product to the people. You know, being an online business and we're still growing, you know, many people are maybe apprehensive about shopping with someone because they've probably dealt with businesses in the past where they didn't have the best experience or they don't know about the quality or, you know, things of that nature. And so I try to get my face and name out there as far as the brand is concerned as much as possible, especially in, you know, the local Atlanta area, because there tends to be a lot of opportunities to do that here. But it really, we do really well when we do in-person events. You know, we again, bring out all of our items. My daughter is normally there as well to kind of help with the business. We have all of our, you know, branding, the pink bags. We have all of the pink shopping bags. And normally when someone makes a purchase, they'll take a picture in front of our banner with their pink bag. And, you know, we'll hashtag it Pink Bag Squad and post it online so that people can see that. And that's really just kind of helped those who may be a little bit apprehensive online to know that there is, you know, a physical presence. We're not just this company where you don't see us, you don't know who we are, but there is a physical presence of who we are, and we try to emulate that and show that through our in-person events. And so most recently, we did the Women's Expo here in Atlanta back in November. We've also vended at the Sweet Auburn Fest, I believe, back in 2017. We've done a couple of different festivals and local events here in the area. We've participated in several fashion shows in Atlanta. We actually participated outside of Atlanta in Miami in a few fashion shows as well. So we try to, you know, work both ends of the spectrum by making sure that our online presence and our online presence is just as, you know, viable as our in-person presence.
Okay. Have you considered or can you see yourself inside of a brick-and-mortar store?
Not really, and I only say that because, you know, being in corporate America and previously working in retail organizations, I understand the decline of brick-and-mortar and really thinking more so of a strategy to maybe be in a location where we are mobile. And so that doesn't mean that we won't do maybe pop-up shops or set up, you know, boutiques. But when I think about the traditional brick and mortar, I don't think that that's the right look for our brand because we want to be able to reach as many people as we can without the overhead associated with a brick and mortar.
Okay. All right. So, Brother Carlton, do we have any more callers?
Not at this time. Brothers and sisters, we are down to the last 15 minutes. If you would like to ask a question of our guest or make a comment, please press the 1 on your dial, and you will be let into the conversation immediately.
Okay. All right. Well, since we don't have any more callers with comments or questions, Sister Angelique, we'll continue.
We got a caller.
Okay.
Okay, looks like this is Sister Ann. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Ann.
Wa alaikum salam. I'd just like to say to our guest that I love your idea of not rushing to get into a brick and mortar type of complex.
Mm-hmm.
You are, I think your ideas are far ahead of a lot of people who think about business. I hope that a lot of people or those who are listening, and if they're not listening, I hope they will get this show and hear you, because you are setting a trend. Well, not really setting the trend, but you are not going the way of so many who set out to have this great big, fabulous brick-and-mortar building, and they have this grand opening, and as my husband say, a silent closing. But with your concept, you are going at it
and it's like you're going at it in a trial situation, but you're really not. You're full-fledged.
Yes.
And I just want to say thank you and keep it up, because I think you're setting a trend.
Thank you so much. And that's a really important message that you kind of highlighted. And a perfect example of that is what we're experiencing right now, with a lot of areas being affected by, you know, this COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic, and not being able to, you know, go to your local, you know, retailers for things. But having that online presence, you're not as affected, because your business, for the most part, can still operate. I have friends who work at locations, and some of my former employers, who have been furloughed from their business, from their jobs, because they cannot keep the businesses open as a result of everything that's going on. And luckily for me, in my full-time job, I am able to continue working. However, if that weren't the case, you know, to have a business that is self-sufficient and an online presence is definitely, for me, a key item in regards to maintaining stability from a business aspect. So thank you so much for highlighting that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay. All right. I am so glad that everyone is enjoying the show. Sister Angelique, we have about 12 more minutes or so. So could you, again, could you give our callers all of your social media platforms and your website address and anything that you want to share with the listening audience in the way that they may purchase your product or follow you on social media?
Absolutely. We can be reached at our website. That address is www.myprettypom, and that's PRETTYPOM.com. We can also be contacted via our social media handles, both Facebook and Instagram, at MyPrettyPom, or at @MyPrettyPom on both handles. We do respond to all messages and inquiries as much as possible. We're very involved in trending and responding and interacting with our customers and our community and our fan base. That's something that is super important to us. Customer service is super important to us. I know for us, when we, especially with everything that's been going on these last few weeks, a lot of delay has been part of the process in regards to delivery, as a result of some of the, you know, things that have been going on. So we have been really reaching out to our customers by phone and email, just making sure that they receive their products, making sure that, you know, they're happy with the products, and trying to, of course, if there are any concerns or anything that we can do to enhance that experience, we've been trying to do that as well. So, you know, it's really important. And, you know, as we're growing, it's definitely something that we would need to review in the future in regards to adding on to our staff. Right now, it literally is just me for the most part, and help from my daughter. And then my best friend, who is more of a business partner to me, she stepped in when she saw me kind of struggling on my own. And, you know, she kind of just grew into the business. And so it's really just, you know, the two of us and my daughter kind of hanging out and coming up with these ideas and, you know, really thinking about what is needed in our community that we don't have, and making sure that we find a way to provide it. So, you know, all the support that we've received, all of the comments, all of the feedback, all of the recommendations, we really take that in stride. We really appreciate each and every one of them, and we try to make sure that we give back as much as possible.
Yes, ma'am. Beautiful, beautiful. So as we begin to wrap up, we have about 9 more minutes. I love that you have involved your daughter, because she was, after all, the inspiration for the business. And
yes,
when we are in business for ourselves, it's very important that we include our children. All other people do just that. If you see a Korean and they have a grocery store, their children work in their grocery store, no matter the business. All other cultures include their right. So it's a family business. So it's really important. And I'm so glad that you have included your daughter in the business. And so also, you know, people come up with
great ideas all the time. You know, people are inspired with great ideas
mm-hmm.
all the time, but are not motivated to move out on bringing those ideas to fruition. So what would you say to somebody who might have a brilliant idea, but they might be hesitant or they might not believe that it's something that they could really accomplish? So what advice could you offer to somebody like that?
I would just say trust themselves. You know, think about it. You know, take some time. Don't make any rash decisions. And really think about what you want to do and what impact you want to have. And think about your future. There were several things that I did in reflection to prepare me for, you know, creating this business. And some of them were completely unrelated to others. But, you know, I thought about job security. I thought about, you know, I don't want to be, you know, at the end of my career and think I'm going to retire somewhere. And, you know, we have another crash like we did in 2008 where several people were laid off and they lost their 401k. You know, that was right around the time I actually came into the workforce. So I saw the effect that it had on people. And that was a position that if I could ever help, I want to ensure that I'm not in that situation. But a bigger piece of that is, you know, my mother was a huge inspiration for me, and she's no longer with us, but she taught me the importance of making sure that I understood business, and maybe not in the terms of, you know, corporations and things of that nature, but she taught me the importance of credit. She taught me the importance of making sure that, you know, things are handled appropriately as far as business is concerned. When it came down to my monthly expenses and my budget and things of that nature that, unfortunately, a lot of people in our community don't have that luxury of being taught that at a young age. You know, the importance of, you know, how to manage credit cards and why it's important to pay bills on time. My mother was a huge resource and inspiration for me to, you know, do those things. And so when she passed away, you know, I was in a place where I really just didn't have a lot of motivation at that moment. I was completely devastated, and I needed something to make me feel like I had purpose again, because I had a daughter at that time who was looking at me for inspiration, and I just wanted to be a little bit of what my mom was to me, to my daughter. And so I always said to myself that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I always knew that it was something that I wanted to do. I just did not have a platform. I didn't know what it was. And I remember when I would be in positions where I felt empty or I felt like uninspired, I would just pray about it and just say, you know, if I could get the opportunity to find something, that I would be willing to do the work. And so when this opportunity came by, it was, you know, this is what I asked for. I'm going to do the work. So what I would tell someone who is maybe toying around with the idea is to really think about what's important to them, think about what their goal is, think about what their inspiration is, and really just kind of stay focused on that. Because, again, if it's not your passion, you know, it won't give you the same effect. You won't find complete enjoyment in it. And believe me, there have been some really hard days within this business. There have been times where I wanted to give up, but I could not give up. And the people that supported me and surrounded me in regards to my family would not allow me to give up. And so just making sure that they have the right support system, but they also have, you know, that self-driven instinct within themselves to kind of stay focused.
Yeah, a beautiful answer. Okay, and going back to your daughter, too, or your daughters, excuse me, another reason that this is so beautiful and so important for them is because this is something that can be passed down to them.
Absolutely.
And quite possibly they may, you know, be the first generation maybe in your family that does not have to go outside of their own business or their own family business to look for a job, because
Absolutely.
They have a business that they own themselves and that they can build upon and expand upon. So again, it is such a beautiful, beautiful idea. We are so very, very honored and grateful to have had you on our show to share your ideas with us and your brilliance. And
thank
we
you.
Wish you, you're very, very welcome. We wish you much continued success.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you for having me on and inviting me. And thanks for everyone who, you know, called in to ask questions or give feedback.
All right, Brother Carlson.
All right. Well, thank you very much for a wonderful show. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Really been real stressed, down and out, losing ground. Yeah. Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters be messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone.
Alone.
I never at once felt so alone.
Alone.
I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my spare tire.
A game of horseshoes.
Now I see the importance of history. While my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain. By brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. He said, cause I set myself on a quest for truth. And he was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty.